Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. You are with me, Alicia Griffiths. I am the owner of Breakaway Tuition, and today I'm going to talk to you all about reading and the intricacies of reading. Let's dive in. So like I said in my introduction, this episode is all about reading, as well as the intricacies of reading. So I often think that reading is a skill that some people think is relatively easy for kids to be able to learn, and they believe that, you know, if a child struggles with reading at one point in their, you know, education, then they'll never be able to catch up and never catch up with their peers in terms of reading. But, you know, there is so much evidence out there that suggests otherwise, and that suggests with intensive help and intensive action, then any child, it doesn't matter how much they struggle with reading, will be able to read. The thing with reading is that it is an overwhelmingly difficult skill for children to be able to grasp hold of. And reading is only one part of it. So when we think about all of the skills that go into reading, we're then really looking at literacy, and we're looking at the whole idea of literacy. So reading is only one small element of it. Now, I am close to finishing my graduate certificate of learning difficulties, and the reason why I went out of my way to do a whole additional university certificate was because the level of information that is available and all of the different ideas in terms of what works best for children with reading, it's incredibly overwhelming. There is so much information out there that it is no wonder parents get so confused and they have no idea where to turn, because a lot of the information out there is also contradictory. Now, if you have been following me for a while, you will know that I'm an Erlen screener, and I have Erlen syndrome myself, and I wear red lenses. Now, there is a lot of people out there that believe that Erlen is not real, and that the way that some people try to explain what Erlen syndrome is very closely linked with dyslexia, and so there's this misconception between the two. Now, in my uni degree, I have heard several times that, you know, coloured overlays and colour lenses won't help with children's reading. The thing is that there is no one out there saying that it actually does help with reading, because it helps with a whole variety of other things. It helps with reading in terms of if the letters and the words on the page aren't staying still, or there are things that are happening on the page that you look at that shouldn't be there, then all of those things interfere with reading. And then when an individual uses an overlay or colour lenses, if that is the reason why they're using it, a lot of the time those things go away, which then means they can focus on the words instead. So there's this huge misconception, and my concern is that academics and academia still are perpetuating this misconception. Now, I am a big believer in researching and looking at evidence and data and scientific related research as well. But on top of that, I'm also big at experiencing and trying some of these things that are suggested and seeing the difference that they make, not just in my students, but in myself as well. So reading is a really contentious topic, And the idea of dyslexia is also really contentious. Now, dyslexia is such a common term and it seems to be thrown around so much at the moment by, you know, people that probably don't understand what dyslexia is. And I hear it a lot. I hear it from parents that they think that their child is dyslexic because they're struggling with reading. But there's a struggle and there's a really, really big struggle. Now, only 3 to 5% of individuals will be diagnosed with an SLD, which is a specific learning disorder, and that's what dyslexia now comes under the bracket of. But a learning difficulty, between 10 to 15% of children have a learning difficulty. Now, with a learning difficulty, with intensive assistance and intensive tutoring and intensive help at school, children can pretty much catch up to where they should be if they have a learning difficulty. But a learning disability, or the SLD, like dyslexia, dyspraxia, dyscalculia, etc., that's only 3 to 5% of the population. Now, there is a lot of information around about dyslexia now, which is perhaps why there is such a misconception about what dyslexia is and, you know, how a child with dyslexia is identified. But dyslexia is an individual struggles with phonological awareness. So they struggle with putting the letter sounds to the letters. Okay, so there's a whole range of like literature around the science of reading and the science of phonological awareness and how all of these things intertwine. But phonological awareness and reading is also taught in conjunction with spelling and spelling rules, with comprehension, with vocabulary, and with writing. And so all of these things are interlinking and interplaying. So for a child who struggles with reading, if they've struggled to put the sounds to the letters, then that makes their reading really difficult for them to do. And so they're spending all of their time and their energy focusing on what these letter sound combinations make, rather than focusing on what the actual words are and what those words then mean. So you can see why perhaps some students struggle then when it comes to reading, because they're focusing so much on what that word is, or focusing perhaps on the anxiety they have around reading as well. So that means when the child gets to the end of even a sentence, they might not know what that sentence was about. So then there was no comprehension. And then obviously, if there's no comprehension of the passage, if there is then difficult words or difficult vocabulary in there as well, if the child doesn't understand what those words mean or the vocabulary that is being used, then they're missing out on that vocabulary as well. So all of these things interlink and interplay. Now, it is suggested that with students that struggle with reading, that intensive like learning is the best for them. And so there is also a lot of information around what exactly intensive is viewed as. And some of the research suggests like 30 times, 3 times a week. Now, there is a whole lot of schools and schools around our area that do multi-lit and mini-lit, and this is one of the better programs in terms of reading skills and your sound combinations. So it is a program that was designed by Macquarie University, and it is used in schools, which has been really highly effective. But there is also a lot of information that schools or some schools use that is quite outdated as well. So things like whole language is quite an outdated term or an outdated idea of reading, but it is still being used, or visual literacy, so guessing what the words are by what they visually look like. So you sort of go into your orthographic mapping a bit. But those things aren't always necessarily helpful for individuals. And then you also get, you know, teachers that tell students to guess what the word might be based on the context around the page. And that is another method that it has been outdated for a long period of time, because it's not effective. It's not effectively teaching children to decode the language or then encode, so spelling the language. So, you know, for a child to encode the language, for a child to decode the language, so that's being able to put your letter sound combinations together, that assists them in encoding the language when they go to spell the words. But we have a whole stack of kids who then reach year one or year two, and because they have found reading so difficult to do, they completely lose focus and they don't want to read at all. And it's really hard to get them to give it a go in the slightest way. So they are the kids where, in last episode where I was talking about children's behaviour often being an indication of something they might be struggling with, then those kids who struggle with reading might be those that are displaying those types of behaviours as well, because it is a really, really challenging and really difficult task to do. Now, my background is as an English high school teacher, and I can tell you that when I did my degree, there was no training at all on how to teach reading, because it was perceived that children learn how to read in primary school, so it wasn't the role of a high school teacher. Now, I left teaching because I was not able to help the kids in my class who really needed the help. Physically, as one person, I could not help every 30 kids in my class who were in my class and all of their learning needs. And there also were not conversations about kids and reading and struggling with reading. There was conversations about writing, but academic writing, paragraph writing, writing essays. But there wasn't conversations about how do we get kids just to give it a go, how to write something down. And there also was not conversations about reading. What about those kids that can't read? Because the kids that I had in my class who were labelled as those naughty kids, as soon as I was able to adjust what I was doing and work with them, there was this massive turnaround, because they were the kids that either couldn't read well, or really found reading really a massive struggle, and writing. And so because they weren't given the tools, then they were in high school and it was just assumed that they would know what they're doing. Now, there is so much evidence that also suggests that the types of texts that students are reading in high school for your technical subjects, so your sciences, for example, the language and the terminology that is used in those is on par with the terminology used at university. And that was even in a year 7 textbook. So you can imagine if a student is struggling with reading from the get-go, is popped into this classroom, all of a sudden there's bigger terminology, there's more sophisticated terminology, but they never understood, you know, the original meaning of words, any words, for example, they struggled to read the words or know what those words were, then imagine how it is for them when they're faced with that into the classroom. You know, if they're faced with all of these technical words that are even more difficult for them to read and get their head around. And then if you think about, you know, I remember one thing that some teachers used to do is get kids to read around the classroom. They're reading a slab of text. And so then you think about that child who is really, really struggling and, you know, stressing about that snake as the snake came around. Now, I used to be a kid that struggled. You know, I didn't struggle heaps and heaps, but I struggled. I struggled with math particularly. But the things that I learned to help me is what I use with my tutoring kids to help them, which has been really effective. But I was that kid who, when we were reading a piece of text that was really technical, I would count how many people were before I would get to me, and I would try and read the sentence to make sure I knew all the words so it wasn't embarrassing when I read it out and I couldn't pronounce them. And so I completely get what that feels like for a kid to be faced with language and with words that are really overwhelming and really, really difficult for them, particularly if they struggle with reading in the first place. So the point that I'm trying to make in this episode is that reading is such a huge, it's huge. It's just a massive, massive, like, a massive undertaking to learn how to read, and you need qualified teachers. You need teachers who are qualified in learning how to read or teaching how to read with the latest technology, with the latest research, because in that classroom environment and in the uni degrees, there really is not a very big range of the teacher learning how to teach reading unless they go and do additional research or additional courses themselves. And that is the massive problem that we find within the education system, is that the reading and the way that reading should be taught and the way that reading should be, you know, introduced to kids is not across the board. There is no standardized way of that in schools, and so we get a whole stack of additional noise for parents to figure out what is going on with their kid and what, you know, is happening for them in particular. I would never suggest, like, don't try this or don't try that, because honestly, different things work for different kids. And there is stacks and stacks of research to support lots of things. And like I said at the beginning, I use Erlang lenses. I don't use them so much for reading. I use them more for filtering out light. Otherwise, I get a bit headachey sometimes. And it helps me concentrate better. But, you know, the research out there is very strong against Erlang lenses and saying that it doesn't assist with reading and it doesn't help people with dyslexia. Well, I don't have dyslexia and I don't have massive problems with reading. I read all the time. I read stacks of information. But if I'm reading on a computer screen, it takes away some squiggly lines for me, so it makes it easier for me to be able to concentrate on the words that I'm reading. So, but, you know, with anything, you've got to give it a go for yourself and for your child to see whether it works or whether it doesn't work. Sometimes it just doesn't work for your child. Sometimes it doesn't work for several people. But there is all of these different options available for you, and it is really difficult as a parent to figure out what's going on. If you think, though, that your child is struggling with reading, you're wanting to ask them about the sounds in the letter, in the words, sorry. So you're wanting to ask them to sound out the words and then try and blend it together so that they can say what that word is all together. If your child struggles to identify those sounds and they're not sure what those sounds make, then that is an indication that it could possibly be an SLD or a specific learning disorder, possibly. Or perhaps they haven't been taught those phonological sounds properly. And so if you are able to get your child in for intensive sessions on phonological awareness, phonological wording, decoding, you know, then that and the power of doing that will then allow your child to be able to decode words easier for them. And then the power of that is that we use reading all the time. We read all the time. Even if we're reading on our phone, we're still reading. We read the news. We've got to read signs around us to understand what they're asking us to do. You need to read paperwork. You need to understand forms. You need to understand all of these different things. You know, if you want to go for your L test, for example, you need to be able to read the questions on the computer screen and understand them to then answer the questions. Otherwise, you can't get something like a driver's license. So reading is a really, really important skill. But you just want to make sure that whatever is being taught for your child in reading, that all of the different elements are being looked at and that things aren't being left behind. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that episode on reading. I am going to be posting a lot more episodes specifically on reading and comprehension and things. And I, in some future episodes, will discuss things that you can do at home as well to assist your kids. But this episode was just to have a little bit of a chat about reading and reading research and what scientifically is being proven to be the most effective methods to assist in reading. Hope you all have a lovely weekend.